Josh at The Beast, and I'm talking to John Huber. He's a contributor here at The Beast, and he covers sports and music. Thanks for taking the time to talk.
Not a problem at all. How are you doing, Josh?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, I'm having a good weekend. I'm swamped with exams right now, but I'm doing good.
Ah, damn. So you're at UB then?
Yes.
And are you like a north or south campus?
All north. I've never had a class on south in 4 years.
Yeah. Are you majoring in journalism or?
I'm majoring in English. I actually I switched my major from political science to English because I realized that I'm like arguing about politics, but studying it kind of bored me. And then I was gonna like go for like a journalism certificate because you can't like major in journalism there. But I just decided it was going to take me too long to do that, so I was going to major in English and graduate next year.
So you got, what's that building that's over by the student union, the tall one?
Oh, I got Clements Hall?
Clements. That's the big arts and letters department, right?
Yeah, it's where like the English department is, and like all the way up on the ninth floor is the foreign language department. They have a lot of classes in there.
And you also are you still writing for the school paper there?
No. I was at the Spectrum. I started when I first got to UB in 2008. I wrote for Generation for the 08-09 year, and then I was at the Spectrum for 2 years. And then,
so you graduated?
No, I have not graduated.
No. I mean, like, you graduated from Generation up to the.
Not really, actually, because like, what happened with Generation was that.
Just in case people aren't. Familiar with the student papers there. I mean, if you could, like, tell us a little bit about each of them.
Okay. Well, the Spectrum is, like, the serious one. Like the we break stories, and, you know, like, we're very, you know, straight-faced and stuff. And Generation, you know, I think it's serious journalism, too, but I think they were always, like, kind of more lighthearted and more jokey. And, like, you swear in Generation. You know, you can't swear on stuff.
Yeah, and there's, like, a literary element to it, too, right?
Oh, yeah, like, people write, like, poetry, flash fiction, you know, stuff like that.
And are they still doing that, like, pirate thing?
Pirate?
I don't know, it's sort of like a mascot, I remember. Like, they were saying the Generation is pirate.
Probably before my time, I think.
Were you unhappy at the first one, or did you...
I was extremely happy at Generation. I loved it. But what happened was, our editor in chief was Andrew Blake, right? Who has I think contributed to The Beast a few times.
Sure.
He was the editor in chief. He was like a really cool guy. You know, I really like working for him. I wrote a lot of stuff. But then what happened was, one of the bigger parts of Generation was like the personal ads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like in the back of the magazine, and some of them would be like dirty. Some of them would be, like, sexist, sometimes racist. They would just be, like, things that other students would say. And then they kind of cracked down on that, and then they revoked the charter, and then they like, told him, like, he couldn't have any power anymore, and they just kind of changed what Generation was. And I didn't really see any point in sticking around. So in fall of 09, I became a writer at the Spectrum.
Yeah, that was always, like, the part everyone turned to first was the personals in the back. It's like, people just remember I submitted a comment there once that was, saying that Generation was better than Spectrum because you could use the glossy cover to crush up pills without losing the...
I like it.
Yeah. And there was a lot of, like, Brooklyn versus Buffalo. Is that... Am I, like, really old and...
I would say that still goes on, but it's not so much Brooklyn. Like, I feel like it was Long Island. It was like everybody hated the Long Island kids.
So you went to Spectrum from there.
Yep.
How was that transition?
My first semester at the Spectrum, which was like fall of 09, kind of sucked. Like the entire semester, I had two articles run, but it was really like one and a half because one of them I like shared a byline with another reporter. I just like it wasn't even like some of them it was just bad writing because I wasn't used to it. But other times, I would just, like, report on stories that I knew were going to be in the paper. It was kind of over that first semester. But then my second semester, I went to the arts desk, which had been kind of like my bread and butter. At that point, was writing about music. And then I did pretty good, and then that was when I first got to become an editor over there in the spring of 2010.
And was that more through being assigned stories and then you just kind of follow through on it, or was it similarly like just see what you can come up with?
It could be either one. Like at the night desk, it'd just be like, oh, here, like the wellness center is doing this, or like these people are showing this movie, you know, come and go talk to them and get a few quotes. And then when I went to the arts desk, you know, it's more like, okay, you know, this band has a CD out, or we've got 2 pre-passes to this movie, and you would just write it and send it to them, like, usually, like, later that night.
Yeah. And were these local bands of, like, students, or the townies, or?
No, actually, that might have been, like, an interesting feature of the spectrum, but it was mostly, like, major artists. I'm thinking of, like, I reviewed OK Go, for the spectrum, I reviewed, like, Spoon. Trying to think of who else. I think I reviewed the Dillinger Escape Plan 1 week, you know.
Let's see. Maybe we should, like, get into music and stuff. And, there's some pretty bad news this weekend. I'm kind of bummed out from MCA dying from the Beastie Boys.
MCA, I mean, yeah, I'm a huge Beastie Boys fan. That just sucks. That's such a tragedy.
Yeah, 47. It's too bad.
Yeah.
What do you students do for fun these days? Because from what I hear in the media, it's mostly what you guys do is the choking game and guys drink hand sanitizer. Is that mostly what you do?
What was the second one?
Drinking hand sanitizer. You know, like that water with soap, with alcohol.
No, I've never tried hand sanitizer. I'm told it has a very refreshing taste, but no, I've never tried it.
I heard one story. I think it was about a year. It was, you know what it was? It was during the swine flu scare. There was a prison in Britain that put those things in, and within like an hour or two, everyone was they had to break up like drunken fights.
Well, that's not fun.
Or just drinking the soap. Yeah, it's pretty messed up shit. So what are you listening to these days? What kind of music?
Oh man, I'm like pretty diverse with what I'm into. I know this is like kind of an obvious one, but I've been completely obsessed with Jack White's solo album Blunderbuss. I reviewed it for the Beast last week, and I really think like it has a good chance to be better than anything that comes out this year.
Yeah, and is he does he have like a backing band, or is he just playing all the?
Well, it's kind of an odd thing because like I mentioned, you know, in the review, like, you know, he's in so many bands, like, you almost wonder, like, why would he need to do a solo album? Mm-hmm. But he kind of had this odd thing going on where, like, he would bring in, like, just male musicians on one song and just female musicians on another song. and the idea would be to, like, just kind of, like, take, like, the vibe that would get him from there. And I thought that was, like, kind of interesting because I'd never heard of a musician doing that.
Yeah. Seems like he's almost messing with us. So you're like, hey, I can do all this shit.
Yeah, and you could, like, you could always, like, picture, like, some, like, women's studies class, and you'd be, like, studying that, you know, or something, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so, what about the local venues? What venues do you like?
I'll be completely honest with you. I, like, never get out. I do not have much of a life.
Mostly.
You know, I mean... School. Well, that's not true. Like, I have a life, but it just doesn't involve going out to the bar. I tend to just, like, stay at home and drink beer at home.
Right.
I was bummed, though, because, like, Nietzsche's was doing the Bob Dylan Imitators Contest, and I didn't find out until, like, the day of, and I wanted to do it. Just got too late.
I think everyone's got their Dylan impression, totally. So are you, are you graduating this year?
No, next year.
Next year?
Going to be a super senior.
They still got the thing where you gotta take, I think it was either Chaucer or Shakespeare.
I'm taking Shakespeare right now. I actually have my exam for Shakespeare tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Oh, damn. So we don't want to go too late.
Oh, that's fine. I'm like a very nocturnal person. I'm up to like, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning regularly. Like if I go to bed at 2:30, that's early for me.
Hey, you kids, you're up drinking hand sanitizer all night, choking yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I don't get it. Like, I saw that in the paper, you know, the news a while ago, a week or two ago. And I remember people doing that when I was in high school. You know, I don't know. People are always like, oh, kids these days are doing crazy stuff. Why can't you guys just, like, buy blank pills from a stranger in a warehouse like we used to?
I know, like, oh, yeah, we should kick it old school, you know, just go about the old-fashioned way, right?
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
No, it's always, people are always, kids are always crazy. Well, what are some of the more interesting anecdotes you've got from doing the reporting for either paper?
I don't know, like, I'm trying to think if I have, like, a really good one. I could tell you about how I wound up quitting the Spectrum. Back in September.
Let's go. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I just, I know, because, like, well, what happened was, and I'm a little bit nervous because the guy who I'm going to talk about couldn't listen to this, but what happened was I was the editorial editor at the Spectrum.
The what?
This is, like, one of the higher jobs you can have. You know, but it was, it's just like, oh, hey, hey, guys, you know, yeah, there's room. You know, this thing is in the news. You know, the Republicans are saying this. What do you think? And then he just had to write an article on it. Like, I felt like I was doing it okay. Like, I was doing a pretty good job. And then I found out after the new editor in chief took over that he really didn't think that way. And, like, he thought, and there were a few people who just didn't think I was doing as well as I could be, I guess. So, and I was a bummer, too, because the new editor in chief was, like my best friend there, because I was, like, talking about basketball a lot and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but then he says to me, like, well, you know, I think you have potential to do this, but I don't think you're there yet. And he says, like, well, maybe next year, like, maybe you can come back as a staff writer. And I'm thinking, like, well, I had already risen up, and I don't want to have to, like, you know, go all the way back down again.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, you know, I just, like, but that point was, like, March, and he was talking about August. So I was looking at 5 months, all kinds of shit can happen, so who cares? And then in July, I, like, talked him into making me an editor on the news desk, because he wanted me to write news stories.
Mm.
But then, like, what was going on was, like, you know, I had, like, gotten, you know, like, 4 stories of my first few weeks there, and I felt like I was getting the hang of it. And then, like, he just called me into his office with two of the other editors, and they're saying, like, well, you got these things wrong, and, you know, you're screwing these things up. And I thought, like, well, maybe I am, but it felt like they were kind of talking about, like, minor things, you know, like, you know, just, like, like, I wrote an article with, like, the wrong font or something. I think I still had it in Calibri when it was supposed to be in Times New Roman, because I just, like, forgot that rule. And then I just remember I just said, like, well, I was just getting kind of frustrated. I said, sometimes I think you're a little bit hard on me. And then he just, like, starts screaming at me, and I didn't know why. And then the next day, and, like, at this point, I had written one thing for the Beast. Like, me and Ian had just started talking.
Yeah.
And I figured the Beast thing might pan out, so I just quit the next day.
So, how did you discover the Beast then?
Actually, I'm a Beast fan going way back. It was 2005. It was July of 05. It was the summer between my freshman and sophomore year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, living in Cheektowaga, and I was walking down to, like, the plaza near the Galleria Mall to, like, go to Anderson to get some ice cream. And then I stopped at the kiosk, and they had Art Boys and the Beast. And I picked up Art Boys. I'm like, hey, what's this other one? This seems interesting. And I just didn't think, you know, I was expecting them. I didn't know what to expect. And then I get into the ice cream parlor and open it. And there's, like, all this, like, great, like, political satire. And he was like, wow, like, this is really cool. And then for, like, the next, like, two years or so, I would just pick it up whenever I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time where, like, I couldn't find it anymore. And, you know, I think it's, like, it's like you had to buy it then. The only places you could buy it are, like, in the city. And I was in Chicago. But then I found out that it was a website. And I just, cause I think it was because, like, Ian Murphy had commented on Andrew Blake's Facebook status. And I was like, all right, the Beast. And there was the him and the Scott Walker thing. And I just sent him an email. Ironically, it was, I was, like, waiting around because I was going to interview some people for the Spectrum. And I was like, I have, like, a half hour to kill. And I just shot him a Facebook message, asking him if I could write, and he said, okay, write something. And I wrote an article about Michael Vick, and he liked it, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah, we get a lot of people asking to write things, but they rarely actually come through with it. I think they generally want someone else to write it for them and to put their name on it, but actually, it came through, so that was great. And, yeah, I've enjoyed reading your stuff, even though I don't really know much about sports.
Yeah.
But you can tell when someone's a good writer by they can draw you into a subject that you don't normally go for.
Yeah. It's almost kind of funny, though, because, like, I was writing an article back in October about Tim Tebow, who you poked some good fun at, I thought, after Patriots beat him in the playoffs.
Thanks, yeah.
And I was conflicted because, like, my opinion on Tim Tebow as a football player was that I always watched him in college. I thought he was cool. And, like, I was also frustrated because he seemed like a nice guy, except that everything he believes is wrong, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. He definitely, like, seems like if you could just put religion and politics aside, he'd be, like, a decent person.
Yeah, he's like that guy you went to high school with who, like, you're like, hey, what's up? You go, like, hey, how are you? And then he's like, hey, do you want to go to church with me this weekend? I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah, it's like you'll be, like, having a good time, but then all of a sudden it's like, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Or, you know, do you know what the Democrats are up to? You know, and it's just like, why you gotta do that?
Although I remember, like, when I was, like, a junior in high school, I went to church once. I went to, like, the first church of religious girl I had a crush on, because I was, like, trying to. And the thing is, though, it wasn't even, like, that as cynical as that sounds, because, like, at that point, I was probably, like, willing to, like, try to buy into it and be religious, you know?
Mm.
But over, like, the first time I went there, it was okay. Then the second time, it was like, here's why abortion is murder. And I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work.
Yeah, I remember when I went for, like, maybe a month or two when I was really young. And what really got to me is how they would push, like, depravity. And it's like, saying, you know, you were a horrible person before you started coming here. I'm like, oh, that's, even as a kid, I'm like, wow, what a great coincidence for you, isn't it? That, you know, you just happened to make me into this great person, even though I don't feel that different. It's weird. They have a weird game going on there.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, that's, like, the thing that this, it was almost like I was looking at this article on TiVo, and I'm like, okay, the beef position on TiVo would almost, like, have to be anti-Tebow, but I like him, so I, like, tried to fit both in the same article. And part of it, like, you know, kind of awkward play. I think, although I'm part of the set headline I use, which is, wrong about abortion, went for the NFL.
Well, yeah. I mean, ideally, we should be able to just, like, not, I mean, he's the one that inserts it into his, you know, the game itself.
Yeah.
So, kind of, yeah.
But
I can see,
that,
you know, be a fan of
this weekend,
playing.
He was at this, like, leadership conference, which those two words scare me.
Yeah.
This is a leadership conference for Chick-fil-A, like, you know, the homophobic chicken headquarters.
Chick-fil-A? Wait, what?
Chick-fil-A? You know, the restaurant?
I don't know. It was wait, it's a homophobic chicken restaurant?
No. Well, it is because... Because, like, they, I think it's like they fund a lot of anti-gay causes.
Oh, okay. I was thinking, like, I don't even know what I was thinking.
Like, you would just, like, go into the store. There's a sign saying gays are bad. Like, it would be like the Palestinian chicken restaurant on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, they do not like the chicken. But no, it's like...
Leviticus versus on your napkin or something like that.
Yeah, really? Yeah, like, I think, like, the bummer about Tebow is that, like, I think, like, most people, like, it's one thing that's, you know, by his religion, but I think it's, like, the fact that he's anti-choice, it's, like, people can just, like, almost say, like, well, he's wrong, but a lot of people are wrong on that.
Mm.
But I feel like at some point, Tim Tebow is going to have to say what he thinks about gay people. I think that's going to be the thing that, like, ruins the fun of him.
I know. There's certain people that I can tell I just don't want to know what they think about too many things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm not too into sports, but there's, like, I don't know, love actors, stuff like that, you know,
yeah,
you see on TV where it's just like, oh, they're fun for this, but... I can tell that if they started talking about politics, then it would just be like, no, it'd ruin the fun.
Yeah, and like, sometimes, like, usually, like, I can deal with someone, like, a famous person, politics being against mine, But sometimes it, like, it bums me out. Like, if they just go too insane with it, or if, like, it screws up why I liked them in the first place. Like, I wrote an article back in February called Fuck You, Dave Mustaine.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Were you a big Megadeth fan?
I'm a huge Megadeth fan, but I just don't know what to believe anymore because I already knew that, like, Dave Mustaine was, like, sort of getting, like, almost Tea Party-ish because he had a song on his last album called We the People.
Mm.
And it just, like, seemed like this sort of, like, Ayn Randish libertarian kind of thing. But then,
yeah.
But then I was like, well, I can almost live with that, I guess. You know, it's not a big deal. But then he endorsed Rick Santorum.
And that, like, metal people being into, like, sort of libertarian things. But Rick Santorum isn't libertarian at all, like, by any stretch. Like, I'm not a big fan of libertarians, but, like, you know, when outlaw gay marriage and that kind of thing, it's just not libertarian at all. So this guy's just like a conservative douche.
Yeah, pretty much. The thing that bums me out about libertarians, because I know some, is that, like, it's like, I always, like, start out agreeing with them, and then it just goes off course. You know, like, you know, be like, hey, like, we should, you know, like, legalize weed and prostitution. I'm like, yeah, we totally should. I'm like, and then they're like, you know, hey, isn't bureaucracy kind of annoying? I'm like, yeah, I'll give you that. It is. And it's like, hey, shouldn't we just stop helping poor people because they all just suck? And it's like, well, you were good on the first two. Oh.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of it is way too simplistic, and they are more committed to this ideology than, like, just finding the best solution that works.
Yeah. Because, and, like, the problem is, though, is that, like, people are just born into inherent disadvantages, you know, whether it's being poor, being black, being female, you know, there's all kinds of that. It's just like, you know, like, if everyone was born into an equal number of class privilege, an equal amount of opportunities, then we'd all be libertarians. Because then we're going to say, like, well, what's your problem, you know?
So what kind of movies? You into movies at all?
It's weird. I almost never read about movies. I know you did the Beasties. I enjoyed reading that.
Thanks.
I saw the 5-year engagement last week, and I thought that was really good.
I know sometimes you'll write about TV, and I didn't know if that was just something you hadn't gotten around to because of school.
I could probably write about movies at some point. It's just like, I only go to the movies like once in a while. I'm like the one person in the country who has not seen The Hunger Games yet.
Me neither. I'm not even quite sure what it's about. I think it's kind of like The Running Man, supposedly. Like, people, like, just hunt down each other and kill them until,
like,
you know, for a prize, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is. I wish I just, like, you know, like somebody in the comment section can tell us. Because I just know that it's, like, this battle, and this is, you know, there's, like, I just play, like the ruling class, like, the 1%, you know, if you will, just, like, take these poor kids, just kind of, like, make them fight each other for food, or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I'm, like, kind of surprised, like, that if that's what it is, which we're just, like, speculating blindly, but if that's what it is, I would be surprised that it's taken off as it has been, because just, like, you get to that problem where the satire is too close to real life.
Yeah, it's almost weird, like when you see a movie and you just think, like, I agree with this, but dear God, is it being presented in, like, a really annoying way?
Like, what do you mean?
Okay, I'll give you an example. Like, did you ever see the movie Stop Loss?
No.
It was this movie with Ryan Phillippe, Channing Tatum, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Like, it's like three, like hunky guys in this movie, and they all play, like, army guys who, you know, who are home from Iraq, and then they all have to go back. They all get stop loss. And then I just thought, like, it's like telling, like, an important story about how it's supposed to be. There's like so many scenes where you can tell that, like, it's like, how do we make Southerners, Southern, like, Republican Army guys the good guys, but also show how much we don't like them.
That was in Avatar too. The one to
there's a scene in that movie where, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, like, he's, like, the guy who, like, has, like, post-traumatic stress disorder, like, this guy calls him a hero in a bar, and he punches him for some reason. because the film wants you to know how distracting he is. And then in one scene, he gets his guitar out, he starts singing Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. So I'm like, oh, for God, this is just, like, so heavy-handed at this point, you know?
Yeah, sometimes it's, like, a little subtlety. It's nice. I guess it's weird coming from us here at the Beast, but
the Beast is not,
subtlety's not our strong point. But it is nice. It has its place.
I think it's interesting. The Beast isn't subtle, but like one thing I like about it is like I never think it makes arguments like in an unfair way. And that's actually a thing that like me and Ian like almost had a conversation about today because, well, did you hear about the thing with Ashton Kutcher?
No.
Okay, he was doing these bunch of advertisements for these potato chip company, where he plays all these characters and a lot, and they're all like kind of like different nationalities. He plays like this Russell Brand type English guy, and he plays like weird like Norwegian person. But then he plays like this Indian character, and a lot of people thought that it was racist.
Yeah.
And I guess because he wears like brown makeup on, he also like the, well, he was whistle like brown face, you know.
Yeah, that's touchy.
Yeah, and like my first thought was that, when people were saying that it was racist, my first thought was that it was, but I think like I almost was like blinded by how much I hate Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Ian, like after I sent my article, like Ian says to me like, you know, I don't want to run this because like you're saying it's racist, I don't see how it is, and I always sit back to him like, you know what, I think you're right. Like, maybe I kind of got into the knee-jerk, like, liberal kind of reaction. But it wasn't because I was, like, trying to be ultra-PC. It was just, like, when somebody says something bad about Ashton Kutcher, I'm like, yeah, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, fuck that guy, you know.
Like, yeah, fuck that guy. That's why I, like, fixed it up. But it just, like, you know, it's just funny. I've seen things like that work sometimes. Where it's, like, where I just think the Beast, you know, does have this kind of, like, yeah, like, we're gonna like shit on people, but only when they really deserve it. And if there's, and I think there's like arguments like not never being unfair, and I like that about, you know, that's the thing that I've always liked about the Beast even before I wrote for it.
Yeah, there's no shortage of targets for that sort of thing, really.
Yeah, because people are always gonna fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. On that note, have you a lot of times when in your stuff you find like, I don't want to say find the middle ground, but actually that's what it is. Like that thing you wrote about The Simpsons, about how there's people that say, oh, it's still great, and then there's people that say it sucked for the past decade. But it's really, the truth is that it's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. And it was funny, I just watched, you know, about an hour ago, I just watched The Simpsons. Like, when I watched it, I felt like, it was a perfectly, like, enjoyable half hour, you know, but at the same time, when it comes from, like, under the same banner that brought us, you know, what was, and it's probably the greatest show on television, I think that it has ever been on television, you know, it's just, you can't help but be underwhelmed, you know, by what it's going to be in its 23rd season.
Yeah, something like that. I think it's more than that. Actually, I think it's more like, I don't know, let me look it up. Whatever. It's been out for a long time.
It's season 23.
Oh.
But it goes back farther. You can count on the Tracy Ullman show stuff.
Yeah, and people miss out on that kind of nuance. So the most recent thing you've had out, actually, this might not come out for a couple of weeks, so you might have had something more recent in the intervening time. But it was about what's his name, Joel Ward, is it?
Yes, from the Washington Capitals.
Yep. And I had always wondered, I felt dumb after having read it, because I had always wondered, like, why is it that in hockey, you know, you can just start a fight for almost no reason, just
because
you don't like that guy, and everyone's fine with it. But in basketball, in football, in pretty much any other sport, a guy starts a fight, and it's a huge incident, you know, he's going to get fined, he might get thrown, suspended,
like,
or something.
Yeah.
But there's a really simple answer to why that is, right?
Yeah, like, because they're white guys.
Right.
I mean, and I'm not saying, like, yeah, I should be clear, like, I'm saying that that's not, like, the only, you know, reason. Because, like, even, like, the case of, like, hockey, or even though, like, hockey and basketball are both, you know, games where there's going to be tension, maybe hockey is more inherently physical, and that leads to, like, you know, hard checks and stuff. But if it's just, like, there's times where it's, like, the two, you know, enforcers, which is basically, like, the PC way of saying goon, you know, it's like, just to say, like, yeah, we're gonna go. And then they just pound the shit out of each other. And it's, like, and for the record, I don't have a problem with it either. Yeah, it's just, like it's fine. But I just think, like, okay, like, let's not kid ourselves. If this is, like, a predominantly black league, or even, like, a 30% black league, where there was a chance that, like, some, you know, like a guy who, like, grew up, like, on the streets of Compton and like, you know, he, like, a bunch of tattoos was fighting some guy, that would freak people out in ways that I don't think a couple, like, some, like, white, middle-class Canadian guys doing it is going to.
Yeah. I guess there'd be two possible solutions, right? One is to crack down on fighting in hockey, and I don't think either of us really want that.
No.
But the other solution would be just to let the same rules that apply to hockey to other sports, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, like, I understand that hockey, you know, is conducive to violence, but I think that they do start out of the blue, and I think that, like, I think there should be, like, a little more honesty. You know, like when two players, you know, get into, like, a little scuffle, or if a player, like makes a dirty hit on somebody, it's like, you don't have to say, like, oh, my God, that's disgusting. It's like, well, no, he hit the guy. It's so what? Like, everybody's mad that, you know, Metal World Peace for elbowing James Harden, he got 7 games. And I thought, well, you know, he was just pissed off, and he just lost his temper for a second. It doesn't, you know, it's not, like, it doesn't need to be this huge case that we, you know, all have to get so freaked out about.
Yeah, are you a George Carlin fan?
Well, I love George Carlin.
He had this bit about his new rules for football. Did you ever hear that?
I think so.
Well, it was basically just like let them do whatever the fuck they want. It's like let's just be a little more honest about all this. We all are watching this because it's violent, you know. So let's make the rules more conducive to that.
I said the same thing. And I was told I wrote back in March about the New Orleans Saints.
Hmm. What was that? And I'm sorry, but I don't know. What was that in reference to?
The Saints had the bounty thing going on. Like, it was like they were... Well, it was like,
oh,
they,
right,
like,
right. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, go ahead, though.
Like, it was kind of like... I even, like, sent the article. Like, you know what's kind of, like, reminded me of, like, Death Race 2000? Like, blind this, it's a million points. It was just like, okay, like break this guy's neck. And, you know, like, you know, pound the shit out of this guy, and you don't get an extra 15 grand. And I thought, like, you know, I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it's like, if you're acting like you're surprised by it, you're either kidding yourself or you're a moron. You know, really.
Right, they just need Sylvester Stallone and, you know, with the machine gun shooting at the crowd.
Yeah, right.
That's such a great movie. People don't appreciate that one. It's a classic.
And, like, to me, like, when I think of the Saints, like, they suspended the coach, the head coach for a year, the coordinator who planned it is probably, like, out of the ball forever. They just sent a lot of players for the season. They took away two of their draft picks. I thought, like, you know, it's, like, so easy, you know, obvious to just say, like, you're pretending. It's like, because they got caught, you know, suddenly we have to just freak out. Or we're saying that, like, I think it's probably happening with a bunch of teams. And, you know, at the end of it, it's like, people like violence, but it makes them uncomfortable to just admit that they like violence. So I was just going to say, like, I will admit, as a sports fan, in a lot of ways, I enjoy violence, you know what I mean? Like, well, I mean, you don't want to see, like, anything malicious, you know, but, like, you know, or anything like those serious things. But, like, when you watch, like, just, like, a really good hit, that, like a free safety just pounds a wide receiver, you know, you're like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? Did you fucking see that? And then you slowly get up and you're like, oh, my God, I'm sad now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, one of the things that I thought of when I was reading about that was that, that's gonna happen regardless, right? I mean, like, come on, if you're a defensive player, like in football, say, and you know that the team you're playing has the best quarterback in the league, you're gonna try to hurt him, you know? I mean, it's just how it goes, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, I think the one that hit that, like, everybody was talking about was, I think it was Jonathan Miller from the Saints. Somebody had this hit on Brett Favre. Yeah, like right when he was with the Vikings, like towards the end of his career, but before the penis pictures. Like his last game, we would dignity, and Phil with his Neville's Red Sox. And it was just like the Cavs, like if you lost him in the game, you probably weren't horrified by it. You saw it was just a hard good hit. And then, you know, you saw later on, you're like, oh, they were trying to injure him. It's like all of a sudden you have to rationalize, you know, the fact that you've been enjoying this, like, all this violence for so long.
So what do you think about the local sports teams of this year? Any hope for, are we just, like, doomed?
I was laughing because you remind me of Mr. Burns just now. He's trying to make all tough. Soon, Lucas Fudge team.
The Blue and Reds, are they going to win? Are they going to score a lot of points?
The Bills? interesting. It's weird because I'm a Patriots fan. I root for the team every voice. But every year, I think, like, the Bills have, like, a shot, and they never do. And they always end up sucking. This year, it's like I've heard, like, other people say that, too. Because I think they have a good chance to finish second in their division and probably get a wild card. I mean, because the defense is really scary. You know, I think Fitzpatrick. Actually, so if you see me right now, I'm growing a beard that kind of looks like his. But yeah, the key is like whether or not he can be good because he had like that great 6 weeks and then it's like, oh, we're going to give you $59 million. It's like, oh, really? So yeah, he just sucked the rest of the season after that. So. Depends on if he's going to be any good, but they might be okay.
Yeah, well, whatever happens is doomed to fail, I think. And just for our listeners, especially the local ones, prepare to feel very old, okay? Because I'm going to ask you, do you know where you were on January 27th, 1991?
I was probably like being locked in a cradle because I was about 8 months old on the date of Wyatt left. You know, I have no memory of all of that.
Do you know what that day was?
Yeah, I believe that was when the Giants beat the Bills 2019 Super Bowl 25.
Yes, it was. Wyatt Wright. Do you know who sang the Star Spangled Banner at that game?
Whitney Houston.
Wow. Are you also looking at the Wikipedia page for it?
No, I'm not.
Was that?
I'm looking at.
Did you seriously know that?
No, I did know that because wow. It was just like because like after she died, it was like a pretty big thing. You know, people were talking about how that was.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, and then there's the Sabres who were a giant disappointment this season.
What about them? Are the playoffs going on now? I'm not even sure.
The NHL playoffs are in the second round, and the Buffalo Sabres did not make the playoffs this season.
Ah, yeah. I sometimes hear their games on the radio at work because a lot of guys bring in their radios to be depressed and themselves reasons to go to the bar after work and drown their sorrows. And I can't even remember. Like, I would think just by chance I would catch a game where they won, but it never seems to happen.
Yeah.
They always start off winning. They'll be up by like five goals, and somehow, you know, they pull it.
They are good at blowing games, they are. Like, if they're up 3-0, I just know. Like, they're good.
That's a bad
thing. The vote is, like, everybody got excited after Terry Pegula bought the team. After Terry Pegula bought the team in, like, and it's like kind of because like everybody wants to on him because like he's like super rich, you know, he's like a long time Sabres fan, and he was like he's just gonna throw around money and they're gonna start winning. and then like he threw all that money at players who were not worth it.
Sorry?
Nothing, I was just saying like and plus the guy who owns the Sabres, Terry Pegula, he was like one of the first crackers. So like the guy who owns the Sabres made the money to buy them by killing the environment basically. The media does not discuss that. Except our voice.
We didn't either. You should break the...
The Beast is, like, more, you know, national than just Buffalo these days anyway.
Yeah. We did have a local section when it was in print. That was always kind of sparse.
Yeah. Because I think, like, it's just more fun to just, like, make fun of, like, the major, like national figureheads than the local politicians.
Well, the thing with the local things is that it's easier to do, like, independent work and investigation and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we just don't have the resources to really, like, do actual journalism on a lot of national issues unless it involves, you know, Skype and a recording program.
Yeah. It's actually kind of funny. There was, like, a story that I had written a while back where, like, I was almost doing actual journalism. It was, like, I had written about Ryan Braun from the Milwaukee Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And how he tests positive for steroids, right?
Oh.
And, like, the most likely thing is that he did do them.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is they have, like, his urine sample, and the guy who, he has to, like, take the urine sample to FedEx and send it out. And I guess he couldn't find any FedEx that would ship out urine in a 50-mile radius.
Wow.
So I had this idea. And I probably, like, could have plucked it out more. I was just like, dude, I just know where to go. Because I just, like, had this thought of, like, I went on Google Maps. I'm like, okay, like, Miller Park in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. How many FedExes are near there? And I'm like, there's, like, 20. There's no way he went to all of them.
Right. Yeah, and so that he didn't send it out in time, and that it was, like, a sort of a technicality where they couldn't use the sample that they had gotten.
Yeah. So, like, even though he probably took steroids, he's not going to be suspended for it. I just, like, wonder, like, how that'll happen. Like, for the record, I don't even think it's, like, that big of a deal. Like, I don't think steroids should be that you should treat people as much as they do. But, you know, it's just kind of funny. Like, it's always going to be, like, this odd kind of mark on his record that nobody's going to know what to do with because of that.
Wouldn't they just ask for another sample? Or do they just drop it?
I don't know, because, like, you know, it's not, like, at a given time. You know, it's like, that urine could have been, you know, like, that could have been steroid tape. And then if they test him now, maybe he hasn't done it in a while, maybe he finds out how to get away with it, you know. So I think, like, 2 months time had elapsed between the initial test. I mean, I guess, like, they didn't find out that they screwed up the sample until, like, 5 months afterward. It was just so screwed up.
Wow. It's messed up. Everyone's drinking hand sanitizer over there.
Yep. Like, actually, that was why the Boston Red Sox, their season collapsed. Everybody said it was fried chicken and beer. Now, it was hand sanitizer.
I'm going to go drink some right now, I think. What's the first album you ever bought? Let's go back to music. This has been jumping around a bit, but that's okay.
Let's see. You know, I'm going to, like, disqualify anything I bought out of, like, 8 or 9 and go into, like, when I first actually gave a shit about music. The first, like, CD that I bought per se was a 2-disc Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I'm a huge Tom Petty fan.
Yeah?
And
what about first concert? Sorry.
Probably maybe. Well, again, if we're just counting, like, really ever, it's only, like, Garth Brooks, and here's the biggest thing in the world. The first concert I went to on purpose, you know, it's like, because there's, like, a lot of them that, like, were just kind of, like, minor. You know, like, I went to, like, a lot of free shows. Like, I saw the Fabulous Thunderbirds and Vince Neil at Thursday in the Square in 2004.
Vince Neil from Motley Crue?
Yeah. And it was funny because, like, there was that thing, like, 7 years ago on VH1 where, like, they remade him or whatever and did this, like, they just kind of gave him this, like, awkward metrosexual makeover. But I saw him, I think it was, like, 2 weeks before that happened. It was like, this is Vince Neil's last show as a fat schlub. Go see it. And then the summer of 05, though, like, after I finished my freshman year of high school, I saw Tom Petty and the Black Crowes at Darien Lake, and that was a really fun show.
Darien Lake's a nice venue.
Yeah. I just remember that was when Chris Robinson from the Black Crowes was married to Kate Hudson. I was, like, trying to find her. Like, that was before she made so many bad movies that I couldn't find her attractive anymore, though.
I think mine was Smashing Pumpkins and Garbage at the Odd back when that was a thing. I think it was, like, one of the last concerts at the Odd.
Like 96, maybe?
I think so. It was the Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness tour.
I was just going to say, because I figured, like, that was right when the first Garbage album came out, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the first time, like, Garbage was a new thing.
I feel like Like, none of these subsequent garbage albums have lived up to the promise of the first one.
I didn't even know they were still making music.
Well, I think I don't think they've had an album out since like 2005, and I think they had one. I'm gonna look it up on Spotify right now.
Mm.
So like as soon as we get the phone, probably listen to Only Heavy on a Range.
Yeah, me too. I think I still have that one around somewhere.
And the last album was called Bleed Like Me. It came out in 2005.
There's a lot of there are so many like 90s bands that are just like lost, and they still do have.
Actually, it's funny. I'm a related artist on Spotify. Smashing Pumpkins is one of the first few that comes up.
Yeah, that was a good show. That was back when he was bald. Is he still bald now?
Probably.
Probably, yeah.
I still remember enjoying Billy Corgan on The Simpsons a lot. He was like, "Hi, Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins. Homer Simpson, smiling politely." I'm like a huge Simpsons fan.
Yeah.
Every time I write an article.
What's your favorite episode?
You know, it's hard to say. Cause like, it used to be the one where Homer became a food critic. Because I just think that would look really silly. Because I love to lie about how he always put, like, he can't get to 500 words, so he just writes screw Flanders over and over. But I always want to put, like, every article I write for, like, you know, like, going back to, like, generations and the spectrum of the beef, I always want to put screw Flanders on it. I should have done it while I wrote about The Simpsons. But, like, I should have done that in the article I wrote about The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. At the end.
And,
just
like,
sure it gets to 700 words.
The more cliched one, like, super fair episode, like, what I feel like might be the best episode is probably the monorail episode.
Oh, yeah. That was good. It's rightfully praised, I think.
Yeah. So I feel like if someone says the word monorail, I'm thinking of the song in that episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Like snowplows.
Okay. Yep. And that was the same season. The snowplow and Mars versus the monorail season.
That was a good season.
Yes. So season 4 was probably the best. Or season 8.
Didn't Conan O'Brien write the monorail episode?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
What's your three?
Three of them?
Yeah, he wrote Homer Goes to College.
That was brilliant. I loved that one.
they
stole the pig or something, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah. And then we rolled up in a carpet. And then we rolled up in a carpet and over a bridge.
Yeah.
That's the one. That's the one where like Homer like. Smithers is, like, distracting Homer because, like, it's the plan evaluation day. He has to supervise a bee. And, like, Smithers goes, "We don't know where our usual sapient Inspector Homer Simpson is. He couldn't be here." The bee bit the bottom. Now my bottom bit. We have an entire conversation of pulling the Simpsons.
Yeah, well, okay. It works.
Yeah. Or Futurama, you know.
I actually haven't, that's one of the things that, like, people keep on telling me about, and I just keep on forgetting to get into it.
Futurama,
yeah.
That's a great show.
I'm sure it is. It's just...
Well, I almost like that, though. Where, like,
hmm?
You ever feel like when, like, everybody is into a TV show and everybody wonders why you don't watch it? Even if you think, I would love this show, you almost want to not watch it on principle. Like, no, I'm not part of your club.
Sometimes, but then I usually end up giving in. I'm sure I'll probably start watching Futurama sometime in the next year or two.
There you go.
And I'll be like, getting all the right, I'll be quoting it, and people will be like, what? Come on, get with it.
Because, like, I cannot do, because, like, I've never watched Mad Men, I watched Breaking Bad once. I watch Community all the time. I can never, like, recruit anybody to watch Community with me.
Breaking Bad is great, I love that. How about Dexter? Do you watch Dexter?
Nah. I don't know if there's, like, any dramas I watch with any regularity.
Yeah.
It seems like work to me. I'd just rather watch like, comedies.
Maybe it's a testament to my, to some flaw in my character that I don't always think of Dexter as a drama. Think of it as a comedy.
It probably is. I've never seen it. You can be right.
No, it's probably one of those things where most people think of it as a drama, but I'm laughing inappropriately.
Oh yeah, like there are like parts in movies, like even if they are comedies, where I will laugh at things and be the only person in the theater laughing.
Yeah, I had that during Titanic.
Yeah.
When that guy hit the propeller, I got such a hateful look for that.
Yeah.
Very bad. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was in Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
There's a part where, like, you know, like Paul Dano is like this brooding teenager. And, like, he just wants to be a pilot. There's, like, a big poster of Nietzsche in his room.
He finds out he's colorblind.
Yeah. The scene where he runs out of, like, the RV, you're like, fuck! Like, everybody in the theater thought that was heartbreaking. I was laughing my ass off. I think it was because I could relate to it more than anybody else in that theater. like, to them, it's like, oh, that's so tragic. To me, it's like, that's Thursday.
Are you colorblind?
No, I just seem like, you know, like
oh, okay.
My cynical 16-year-old self was like, what, I have this fun with all the time, whatever. Like, poor guys, oh, he gets live right now, he's coming up by, that's hilarious.
Yeah, dreams die.
Oh, man, that's, I think, even though I saw the 5-year engagement, I don't remember what precise scenes, but I do remember there were scenes like, clearly the crowd did not take it as a funny scene, and I did. Because I think there's like this part where like Jason Segel, when he grows like this huge beard, and like you could tell he's lost his shit, and everybody else is like feeling bad for him, and I'm like, oh well, this is hilarious. He's hitting rock bottom. I gotta say this, you know.
Oh man, do you ever see Vanilla Sky?
No.
I was with a friend. It was the theater was sold out. So I was with a group of people, and so we had to sit in, like, two separate groups, you know, because we were late. Not late, but whatever. We had to – we couldn't all sit together. And there's this really bad car accident where I think it's Tom Cruise's character dies or almost dies or half dies, something – I don't know. I haven't seen it since. But it's really dramatic, and there's this, like, really pregnant pause right after the car screeches to a halt. And I just started cracking up. And there was this weird, like, pause after that, where everyone in the audience was like, someone is laughing at that. And then, like, this laugh that, like, it was very strange. They all echoed me. They're, like, laughing at the fact that I was laughing at it. And then the first thing when afterwards... the other group of my friends were like, did you hear that asshole who just started laughing at the kid? Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. It almost sounds like based on what you're saying, it almost sounds like some, like, the pause was presented kind of awkwardly, though, and that, like, you just create that.
Yeah, it was like inviting someone to start laughing. That's the way I looked at it, but nobody else.
It's like The Room, almost, you know, right?
The what?
The Room.
The movie? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm the only person who, like, has never seen The Room. Like, I've seen... I think it's because, like maybe it's better if you just have, like, a bunch of buddies with you. I just, like, try to watch it by myself. And just, like, it's just not as fun to just, like, enjoy laughing at a terrible movie by yourself. Like, it's a very least I need, like, the MST3K guys with me, you know?
They did a thing, commentary track for it.
Nice. I'll have to get that.
Yeah, it's funny as hell. Yeah, that's, Yeah, I feel weird. That's a case where the guy has some issues, and, you know, I feel weird about how people do, like, midnight showings of that movie, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, he's, I don't know, he plays it off like he knew it was unintentional humor the whole time, but he definitely didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know, you not having seen it, I guess you wouldn't.
I haven't seen the entire thing. I still don't know what, like, the really, like, favorite scenes, like, you know, the, I did not hit her! I did not! You know, hi, Mark.
Yeah, he's that hi. Oh, hi. Hi, everyone. And they always say, don't worry about it, about, like, everything.
I read something the other day that said that, like, when Tommy Wiseau was making it, like, he was worried that, like, the other people on the film would, like, steal his brilliant script, you know?
I think I read that same thing. Was it, is that the one actress who played, like, kind of a minor role?
Probably.
I think, yeah, I think I read that exact same thing. Yeah, worried that they were going to steal his brilliant script. That's...
Look, I mean, like, I feel like he's probably, like, pretty rizza off of every week now. Like, you're like, even if it's like, well, you made the worst movie of all time, it's like, so what? He's probably, more like, a millionaire from it now, you know?
Well, it's been played so many times, you know? All those theaters have to buy the rights to play it, even if they're joking about it, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sure he's doing all right. And I heard that, like, that's actually a lot of budget. The budget for it was, like, disproportionately high. And that guy, I guess, won't talk about how it was funded. And he won't talk about where he's from. Like, what kind of accent is that?
No one
like
knows.
All shrouded in mystery. It's very weird. Very weird.
Yeah. You can almost see what, like, you can picture, like, if Rebecca Black looked like, you know, she's like a multimillionaire for being, like, downloading Friday as a joke, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sort of like, well, like, if it could be, like a good magazine feature, like, people who got rich off of irony, you know?
Yeah. That should be a list. That's a list.
Yeah, that's good. It's a list. You like lists. I never realized, like, the first time I saw that, I thought, well, you're already old. I was like, oh, that's his thing. And then I thought, you did, like, oh, is that just the entire paper thing? It's just that I got, I did this from one of mine.
Yeah, it's weird how I'll, even knowing the kind of snark that goes along with that kind of thing, I'll still, like, when I see a list, I'm always like, oh, I wonder if this and that's on it. I better click to find out.
That's not like the person who founded Crack.com. Just each of those hate views every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Crack, though. They're awesome. They're very funny.
Me too. They are. Like, I don't know anyone who doesn't like it, you know?
Yeah.
And it was weird that, like, Crack used to be, like, the poor man's Mad Magazine. And now there's, like, so many outlets for satire.
Well, yeah, Mad Magazine. It was terrible.
So, like, Mad Magazine, like, if I read the entire issue, I might laugh, like, twice, you know?
Yeah. Like, now, I bet they have an Avengers parody now where it's, like, the Dumbers.
No, yeah. it'd be the Dumbventures. No,
yeah, the Dumbventures.
The
Tony Bark. Yeah, that some of it is just so, yeah.
Captain Dumbarica.
Yeah, well, you're hired.
Once again, I go to The Simpsons, and there's, like, their biggest one of the Mad Magazine ones. Why don't we call it Everybody Hates Raymond?
Yeah.
Well, we stayed up all night, but it was worth it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's about time to wind it down.
Yeah, we got a good hour out of this. Yeah, that's good.
All right, well, we should do this again, like, have a, maybe a little bit more structured next time, but this was fun, so, thanks for taking the time to talk.
All right, awesome, I had a great time talking to you, let's talk to you soon.